Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
The gay marriage thing. Now, we have to understand one thing, however, that we try to think that, you know, well, now the United States has joined the rest of the world. Well, the truth is that there's only about 20, 21 nations across the globe that allow legal same-sex marriage. And quite frankly, most of them are majority whites. I'm not trying to infer any type of racial component here, but let me be clear on this. In fact, here I have the rundown of the nations that have legal recognized gay marriage. You have Argentina and Brazil. Not majority white, they're Latino nations, but then you have Belgium, Denmark, Greenland, Finland, France, Iceland, Ireland, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, the UK, United States. Now add to the non-white countries of Mexico and Uruguay and South Africa. Now, must be noted that South Africa is not exactly a, even though it is legal there, it is not a gay-friendly nation. Just want to make sure people understand that. There are two other countries that recognize gay marriage, and that's Israel and Malta, which is really kind of interesting for Israel. However, there you go. That, notice how much of that is Europe proper, or basically what's known as the West. There isn't, you know, other than South Africa, there's nobody in Africa recognizes it. Other than what looks like Slovenia, nobody in Eastern Europe recognizes it. Nobody in Asia. And it doesn't even look like Australia recognizes it. I'm just saying. So this whole notion that we have joined, the rest of the world in understanding and accepting is a lie, because it's, what now, 21 countries. That's it. It's all there is. I'm just putting that out there, folks. Good evening, my fellow Americans. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great Granite State of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. And yes, we did have legal gay marriage before the Supreme Court ruled it so. That's part of the live free or die, not big government or bus mentality. It is Friday, June the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2016, which means it is Free for All Friday, which means we're supposed to talk about more light-hearted stuff. On Fridays, I usually try to bring in more pop culture and more current events than the political stuff. But today, because of the ruling, unfortunately, it precludes a lot of stuff. You know, a gay marriage fight may be over, but new battlegrounds are opening up. And this is a story from the Washington Times. The Washington Times says, the dust didn't settle on the Supreme Court's landmark gay marriage ruling before advocates began announcing their next agenda items in the fight for equality. It thinking, you know, it's always something else, isn't it? Now, top gay right issues include protections for sexual minorities in jobs, housing, healthcare, senior services, and in the treatment of youth in and out of school. You know, parents won't be allowed to try to, quote-unquote, fix their child. On the other side, religious freedom must be shored up legally, and churches should take immediate action to clarify their statements of faith and policies on weddings and facilities, traditional value advocates have said. Meanwhile, this weekend promises to be quite energetic as New York City, Chicago, and San Francisco celebrate with gay pride parades. Now, will we still need gay pride? I'm just, you know, if we have all this equality, we have all this equality out there, equality breaking out all over the place. So if we have all this equality now, do we need gay prides? I mean, I know we have St. Patrick's Day, but the parades, but they're not really Irish parades. There's St. Patty's Day parades, where everybody on that particular day, St. Patrick's Day, is Irish. Oy begorra. And does that mean that now all, you know, St. Patrick's Day parades must have be inclusive of gay marchers now, too? Gay parade floats? I mean, they have their own, but do we really need gay pride parades now that they've gotten all the equality that they could possibly want? Well, I guess they want more, but I'm just throwing it out there. I don't see the need for. I mean, it's kind of. I don't see the need for it, right? I mean, do you see Black Pride parades running around? You know, every year. I don't see any. How come you don't have any White Pride parades? You don't have any Black Pride parades. You don't have any Latino, at least I haven't seen any or heard of any. You don't have any Latino Pride parades, but we have Gay Pride parades. I'm just wondering if there's now a necessity for them. Just, you know, I'm just wondering about it. Meanwhile, this weekend, does promise to be quite energetic and happy in New York City, Chicago, and San Francisco. It's time to celebrate, said Kevin Cathcart, executive director of Lambda Legal. But after that, he said, there's an enormous amount of work to be done. Friday's 5-4 ruling, which struck down man-woman marriage laws in Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee, as well as those in 10 other holdout states. Gay married couples married today in many places. Now, gay rights advocates were ecstatic over the broad language in the majority ruling. Broad language, that's right, because they can when it's broad, they can interpret it any way they want. They can make it mean whatever they want it to mean. And it may not mean what the justices intended, but they can make it mean that if they want to. Again, seeing, a good number of the justices will be dead and gone in another 10 or 15 years, leaving the rest of us to wonder exactly what they meant. It's more than a victory for marriage. It's a victory for all LGBT people, said Mr. Cathcart, predicting that that the case of Obergefell will be used and cited in all manner of civil rights cases for years. Civil rights cases. I don't know if a Black person or a Latino person is going to be citing that particular case for years. Unless, of course, that particular Black or Latino happens also to be gay or transgender or bisexual. Funding will now be directed at efforts to protect lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in employment, housing, and health care, noting that transgender violence is a major concern. Yes, because people, I guess, regularly beat up guys in dresses. I don't, you know, when they're outside, not on stage. And from what I understand, it really gets to be a problem when you have a transgender hooker and a John pulls up thinking that he's getting a, you know, rather busty, tall, leggy female, gets back to wherever they're going to do their deed and transpire the transaction, and come to find out that there's a guy when he in there under that dress when he pulls down the pants. That often leads to a little bit of violence. When you surprise a guy, a straight guy, that way, yes. Now, for opponents of gay, I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying that is a reason for it. It's not an excuse, but it is a reason. For opponents of gay men, just think about it. You know, you go to a club, and you know that someone catches your eye across the room, and you know maybe it's this beautiful brunette. You know, I have nothing against blondes, but I'm not all that into blonde. So let's just say, you know, you got a big buxom blonde at the end of the bar, opposite side of the bar that you're on. She catches your eye. And, you know, you exchange glances, and her eyes lock with your eyes. And before you know it, you're walking over, you know, asking if she wants a drink. And she says yes, and, you know, her voice is a little deeper than most women, but there are some women who have deeper voices, and that's true. And they were born girls, and they're women, and they can have a deeper voice. So you don't even think anything of it. You probably think it's kind of like Demi Moore sexy. And so you sit and chat for a while, and you don't notice anything off that she could possibly not be a woman, because you know she's got all the curves and everything. She's dressed to the nines. And, and she doesn't tell you that she's a he. So things are going good. And, you know, the guy says, you know, you want to get out of here. And she says, yeah. And he says, you want to come back to my place or should I go to your place? And, you know, and she says, well, let's go to my place. Let's play it safe. So they go back to her place. Oh, you know, they start locking the lips. Things are getting hot and heavy. You know, clothes start to, you know, touchy-feely stuff, and they feel, you know, the chest area feels normal. You know, she implants, but they can feel normal. And a lot of, you know, straight women have had implants, so there's nothing out of the ordinary there, not yet. So things are getting hot and heavy. You know, off comes the shirts. And yeah, you know, she's... It got what it looks to appear to be, you know, natural breasts, natural boobies. And then there's the screech of the record. Because the pants come down and there's something hanging between her legs. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if I had just been tricked like that, I might be a little upset too. Now, I'm not going to say that I would not resort to violence, and most men don't. Let me be very clear. They don't. But some do. And that's wrong. But at the same time, doesn't the transgender have an obligation to tell the male what they're getting into? It would save a lot of problems and a lot of headaches. Just saying. That scenario happens more often than we'd like. Then we realize. And when it happens on a level that is, you know, on a sketchy level, like in a CD bar, or you're picking up a hooker Well, those types of people that you're, those types of guys are not going to be the exact kind that, that take kindly to that kind of stuff without violence. I'm just saying. It doesn't make it right. It absolutely is not. Let me be clear on that. But who's, does it, is it not the fact that the transgender also has to bear some of that responsibility? Just saying. Well, no, because nobody has the right to beat up any, no, I get it. I just said that. Nobody has the right to do that, to beat some, harm somebody else. However, it could have been prevented simply by the transgender saying, hey, you know what? I'm a tranny. Some guys actually like that. I'm just saying. But you would quickly get rid of the guys that don't, and there would be no violence. But anyway, we will denounce this same-sex marriage practice in our services. We will not teach it in our schools. We will refuse to officiate at this type of wedding, and we will not accept any encroachment on our First Amendment rights, said Patrick, said Pastor Rick Scarborough, president of Vision America Action. These are for opponents of gay marriage. The ruling means that an all-out defense of the First Amendment freedoms of the religious speech and association. Now, Pastor Scarborough said, the court can no more redefine marriage than it can redefine gravity. Although, I must tell Mr. Scarborough that, yes, they can redefine the meaning of the word, and they can redefine what gravity really is if they so decide to change the meaning of the word gravity. And trust me, if by changing the definition of the word gravity could somehow advance their liberal cause, they will do it. Now, I, at this particular juncture, cannot think of any possible way of them gaining anything by changing the definition of gravity, but I'm, you know, at some point, they if it becomes an advantage for them to do so, they will do so. They will change it. If it's an advantage to make the word gravity mean something else, they will do it. Just saying, because we can look at a very short history over the past 6 years, especially, but ever since Clinton, you know, they've been changing what words mean on a regular basis to fit their own twisted desires. Now, while Christ followers reject and repudiate all vestiges of homophobia, intolerance, and bigotry, I know for certain that the moment biblical truth stands defined as hate speech in our nation, America as we know her, will cease to exist, warned the Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Now, you have to understand, all these ethnic groups, you know, black ethnics, blacks, Latinos, Asians, they're not all coming on board for this, you know, this kumbaya moment. And quite frankly, you know, even in some countries that have gone the distance, and like Mexico, that have gone the distance and legalized gay marriage, they're not exactly gay friendly. You know, Mexicans in general are not exactly gay friendly. You know, Latinos in general are not exactly gay friendly. I'm just saying. So this whole notion that, you know, we're joining the rest of the world, that is not so. And these pastors and religious leaders are absolutely correct in girding their loins for the fight of their lives coming up. Because all of this rhetoric, all this money, all this energy that was directed towards making marriage, same-sex marriage legal, will now be directed at them. It'll be a full force, full frontal assault on religious freedom and religious beliefs. Don't doubt me, folks. Do not doubt me on this. It is coming. And again, we're the ones that are going to have to deal with the mess. We're going to have to clean it up because it is going to get messy. And some of the Supreme Court justices are just not going to be around anymore to try to clarify what they meant. And somebody else is going to have to look after the mess that they created. I love this. You know, just kick it down the road. Well, this is, this is what the Constitution means. No, it's not. No, Justice, this is not what the Constitution means. I would say, well, go back to 1776 and 1786 and 1800 and try to tell me if the Founding Fathers in the first round of leadership of American leaders were all for this type of thing. If that was codified in the Constitution, they would say no. Absolutely not. But now we are we're kind of stuck with it. Now, some faith leaders took heart in what Justice Anthony Kennedy's words, that religious people may continue to advocate with utmost sincere conviction that by divine precept, same-sex marriage should not be condoned. But the left is going to look past that. They're not even going to quote that from Justice Kennedy in the future. They're going to say, well, you know, he said that we should be able to. They're never gonna, you know, quote that kind of stuff. Hey, did you know that California has approved something? You're probably thinking, well, when did California approve now, Rod? California has gone the way of, taking more rights away from people in this whole notion that they're doing something for the greater good. It hasn't been signed yet, I don't believe, but this is something from the Christian Science Monitor, and that the California lawmakers approved child vaccine mandate bill. The General Assembly approved a bill that would eliminate the exemption for personal religious beliefs that allow parents to opt out of vaccinations. It is currently unclear whether Governor Brown will sign the bill. So in other words, they've just said, well, you know, you parents are too stupid. You don't get to choose whether or not your kid is vaccinated or not. And we don't care about your religious beliefs. Now, if they're going to go that route of not caring about your religious beliefs on a vaccine, do you think they're going to care about your religious beliefs on your beliefs on same-sex unions? Absolutely not. Just telling you, folks, this is where we're going. This is what's happening. So the California Assembly has approved a hotly contested bill requiring that almost all public school children be vaccinated. Now, the legislation would eliminate the exemption for personal or religious beliefs that allow parents to opt out of vaccinations. Thursday's vote was one of the last major obstacles before the measure heads to the governor's desk for either approval or disapproval. I don't know. So you can go ahead and, you know, well, all I can say is that, you know, that now is the time for parents to really, really seriously think about whether they still want to send their kids to these public indoctrination centers that we jokingly called public schools. Just saying, folks, you're going to lose your rights.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Listening to The Rod Eggle Show.
And We are back. Hey, this is from the OrlandoSentinel.com. Walt, I don't get it. Well, they say it's for safety reasons, but Walt Disney World is about to ban selfie sticks from its theme park, citing safety concerns, as a company spokeswoman said Friday morning. Under a new policy, which takes effect this coming Tuesday, the poles won't make it past the bag check at any Disney World theme park. The sticks also won't be allowed in Disney World water parks or Disney Quest, a gaming attraction at Downtown Disney. Now, what they're saying is that we strive to provide a great experience for the entire family, and unfortunately, selfie sticks have become a growing safety concern for both our guest and cast, Disney World spokeswoman Kim Prunty said. Prunty, P-R-U-N-T-Y. Selfie sticks will also become forbidden at Disneyland resorts in California on June 30th. Now, the prohibition kicks in at Disney parks in Paris and Hong Kong on July 1st. I don't know why it has to be done in phases. Guests will be checked for the equipment during the routine bag check that happens near the park's entrances. They will have an option of turning in their selfie sticks for pickup later or go back to their cars or hotel rooms to stow them. Visitors will be told of the policy in locations such as parking lots and at the resort's hotels. The prohibition will be added to the park rules post on Disney World's websites. Now, the issue has been building at Disney. Previously, the sticks were prohibited from its rides, and no selfie sticks signs were at select rides such as Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Magic Kingdom. Cast members have given verbal warnings to rule breakers, and several incidents preceded the change, but officials have been discussing the rules for some time. Disney said this week at Disney California Adventure Park, a roller coaster was halted after a passenger pulled out a selfie stick. The ride was closed for an hour. Selfie stick users put smartphones and cameras on the ends of the poles to extend their reach, frequently capturing theme park moments through self-portraits. The tools have been banned in public places, including some museums and stadiums worldwide, for obstructing views or causing safety issues. This whole notion of the selfie is gotten... I didn't know these things existed. I should have known, really. This is what it's really for. Selfie stick. I didn't know these things existed. There have been times I've often wondered, well, how do people get this picture? You know, it's clearly not taken by somebody else, but it's too far. It extends out too far from a person's potential arm reach. And it looks like their arms are closer to their body, not, you know, how people take a selfie. You can see there how one of their arms is out a ways. But I've often wondered that. Just think, well, I guess because of the angle and everything, it looks like a selfie angle. And at that angle, somebody who was taking it would have to be very tall. But I didn't know that they were done with the so-called selfie sticks. I guess I should have known. But yours truly didn't know. I didn't look. I can't keep track of everything out there. But this whole notion that people need to take a selfie wherever they go. I mean, whatever happened to, hey, sir, could you please take this? I know some people are afraid that if you give your camera, your smartphone to somebody else, they're going to abscond it and run away. That has happened in the past. You never know. If you're young and fit, and then you give it to an old fat guy or an old fat woman, and you know that they can't outrun you, so you know you don't pick somebody who looks like they're in better shape than you are to take your picture for you. I'm just saying, you know, use a little bit of common sense there. But this whole notion that everything has to be captured. Not for posterity's sake, for self enjoyment, but so they can share it to the world. You know, frankly, it's it's nice if your friends go to, you know, places that they go to. I am not all about seeing every aspect of their vacation. You know, and I don't want to see it plastered all over. I know that's what Facebook and Instagram and you know, Photo Bucket and those types of services are all about. I get it. But it doesn't mean I want to see it. It's why I never really got into Instagram, right? Instagram. Because, you know, in order for a lot of this type of stuff to work, I mean, you literally, honestly, have to be adding photos constantly. If you're doing one or two a day, forget it. You're not, if it's just for your friends and family, okay. But if you intend to actually use the system and take full advantage of it, I guess, you know, one or two photos a day is not going to cut it. It's like you gotta post one an hour. I mean, this is how fickle people are. In order to do that, you gotta take, you know, pictures of, I guess people want pictures of themselves. They want to see, you know, you. I don't want to see me. I just, you know, I'll take pictures of places I want people to see my point of view of where I'm at. That would be fine, but I'm not going to turn the camera around so I can, you know, show people me at these places. That's not showing them my point of view. Why do they want to look at me all the time anyway? They should be wanting to look at the places that I'm visiting. You know, like a tour guide or something, you know, a tourist publication. It may make them want to go there. But I know we see all these, you know, these selfies with people supposedly enjoying their stay. And now there's all kinds of, new psychological, terminology that has come out. For social media that pertains to this kind of stuff, you know, because some people think, well, geez, this person is always having fun and always doing stuff and always going, and I never get to go anywhere. And the reality is that they're really not doing as much as that you think that they are, but because they take so many selfie pictures and plaster them every once, you know, constantly, it looks like they're constantly going somewhere, and that's really not the case. But people look at this and say, well, they're having more fun than I am. And that's just not fair. You know, there are these new syndromes that are popping up about this kind of stuff. So the psychological community is telling us. Yeah, you know, anything to keep the drugs flowing and keep the visits going, to the mental health professional's office every week or every month, you know, you gotta, you know, keep all the psych drugs flowing. Now we have new psychological issues and problems. And it's all due to all this selfie stuff on social media. It is what it is. I don't know. It is what it is, folks. I'm not going to, you know, I like to use Facebook and other social media, but if you know my accounts, if you follow me on any of my social media, you know that I do not constantly, I rarely put up selfies. I don't think I've really done a selfie. I haven't. I'm really behind the times, I guess, huh? I really haven't had. If there's a picture of me on any of my social media, it's somebody else taking the picture. I don't think I've ever taken a selfie. Yeah, I wonder what that's. I'm sure some psychologist or psychoanalysis person would love to get a hold of me on that one. Would love to analyze that. Caitlyn Jenner says, I'm sorry. Darren Chris says to Caitlyn Jenner, I'm sorry. He apologizes for inappropriate comments he made during Hedwig and the Angry Inch performance. Well... Pop culture as it is, everybody can't be You know, they got to be on the Caitlyn. I'm sorry, it's still Bruce. Still Bruce Jenner. Not Caitlyn. I'm not going to go down that road. Did you know that you could now print your face on a latte coffee machine? In about 10 seconds, actually. Yeah, this is something new for all you coffee. Speaking of selfie, just think about this now. Take a picture of yourself somewhere. And, so now you can print your face on a latte. A coffee machine lets anyone create intricate foam art in just 10 seconds. Now, the machine costs about $1,000, combines 3D printing with an inkjet system. Now, it links to an app and prints out natural coffee extract called Ripple Pods. Again, something I never heard of. Images can be taken from Ripple's library, or customers can submit a photo from their camera roll, which will then be transformed into foam. Now, only the most skilled baristas are able to create intricate foam art by hand, but they can't take your, they can't, you know, a barista can't in that foam art create a picture of you. But now a new system named Ripple Maker could allow anyone to print complicated designs on their lattes and cappuccinos. The technology works basically by combining 3D printing technology with an inkjet system that spits out natural coffee extract called Ripple Pods. Users can choose designs through the Ripple app, such as inspirational messages and images of their loved ones, or images can be taken from Ripple's content library, or customers can submit an image from their camera, which will be transformed into foam art at the venue. Now the images can be edited, scaled, filtered, have text added, etc. According to Steam CC, the company behind the system, the image is printed on the coffee in less than 10 seconds. Okay. So some of the key features is no artificial color is added. Ripple images are produced in coffee scale, coffee-based shades rather than in full color. The system adjusts automatically to a range of coffee cup sizes up to 7 inches high and 4.5 inches wide. Ripples are produced within 10 seconds. Ripple's content library has hundreds of images and messages to choose from. Coffee lovers can use the app to browse Ripples. The system automatically adjusts. Now, priced at $1,000, the Ripple Maker is currently only available to commercial establishments that serve coffee. Now, Lufthansa will be the first global brand to use the technology and will be rolling out in their first and business class lounges later this year. Now, latte art is one of the most shared images on social media. Yossi Meshulam, CEO of Steam CC, parent of Ripple, says we're taking latte art to a whole new level. I would have to agree. Although I don't see the benefit of having my picture on my coffee. What am I going to do? Am I going to run around? I can see it now. Everybody goes to Starbucks and, Starbucks starts to get these machines and everybody goes to Starbucks and says, okay, I'll take one of those Ripple, you know, things. Here's my picture. And then they, instead of drinking their coffee, they're going to run back to the office and show everybody their picture of their coffee. I can see that being an annoyance really fast. But hey, there it is for you. You can, of course, you can put your own, you can put just about any picture you want, evidently. Hey, did you know that there's they're working on Zoolander 2. I had heard rumors of them doing a Zoolander 2. I didn't know that they were, but Penelope Cruz is in it. Zoolander 2. It's good. I always thought that Zoolander, I didn't think that it actually did well in the box office, but evidently after the box office on video and in DVD and rentals, and it did big business. So now it's finally they're doing Zoolander 2. I always thought Zoolander was one of Ben Stiller's better movies. I thought it was funny. I thought it was actually hilarious. I even owned a copy of it when it was on VHS tape. Now, I don't own any VHS tapes anymore because I don't even have a machine that plays VHS tapes. But I have not upgraded that particular title to DVD. But I did think it was funny. And so it's good. You know, they're doing sequels to a whole bunch of movies and, you know, revamps and restarts to a whole bunch of movies. So why not Zoolander, I guess. Zoolander 2. Hopefully it'll be as funny as the first ones. Are you rich? Now this is Waitrose. This is a UK establishment. Are you rich? If you shop at Waitrose, drink champagne, and can't remember the last time you caught the bus, and the answer is yes. The rich list features 38 signs you live like the other half, including not having store loyalty cards, going skiing, and never buying a bottle of wine for under basically $15. Having fresh flowers is, again, another sign of you being rich. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. You know, you're going to be construed as being rich if you do some of this stuff. Just so you know, the rich list features 38 signs that you live like the other half. Study has found features not having loyalty cards, going skiing, and having fresh flowers. Researchers asked 2,000 Brits to define key indicators of a person's wealth. They said never having to check your available funds came top of the list. Now, shopping at Waitrose, drinking champagne and such, but according to a new study, these lifestyle choices actually mean you are considered to be rich. Now, these other factors include having fresh flowers around the house, children who take riding lessons and never hunting for bargains. The report also revealed a marked disparity between the North and the South. Londoners believe you need a property worth roughly £3.7 million, which is roughly about $5 million, to be rich, while the North think it's in the range of £2.8 million or around $4 million. The list was compiled after researchers asked a panel of 2,000 Brits to define the key indicators of a person's wealth. Of course, never having to check your availability of funds. Owning a boat and having a housekeeper also featured high on the list, as did sending your children to private school and having a second property, a vacation property. Being able to spend more than $800 on one item of clothing is another trait, while flying business class is also considered to make you rich. Now, all this stuff is, you know, this is British stuff now. But if you do any of this stuff, just know that you're considered to be rich. Now, the survey also found just 6% describe themselves as rich in terms of wealth, while 60% consider themselves to be rich in non-material ways, such as having healthy children and a close, loving family. They always have that kind of stuff on there. But here are some of the things. Are you rich? Never have to check your available funds. Having a swimming pool in your house. Did you know that? You're rich if you have a swimming pool in your house. In your house. If you own a boat, you have a housekeeper. You know, Merry Maids comes to your house. You send your children to private school. You own a second property, vacation property. You spend more than 500 pounds, about $800 on individual item of clothing. You fly business class. You own a mortgage-free property. Oh, you know, you could have paid on it for 30 or 35 years, but now you're rich. You have your own gym in your home. You have more than $2 million in the bank. You eat at Michelin starred restaurants because, you know, we know only the rich people eat there. You have a house worth $3 million or more. You have a wine cellar. I know a lot of people who have wine cellars, and some of them are just, you know, oh, it's, I got 24 bottles. I got a wine cellar. I guess it depends on the wine cellar. You have a personal accountant. Well, if they come to the United States, a lot of people have a personal accountant. You eat goose rather than turkey on Christmas. Yeah, that might be construed as being rich, considered the cost, what it costs to buy a goose nowadays. You travel first class on trains. Americans really don't travel on trains. You have investments. Yes, you're going to be construed as being rich if you have investments. You have a gardener. Okay, I don't know anybody who has a gardener, not even the rich around here. Just saying. You refer to your land in acres. You have a personal shopper. Now, there are people who have businesses running personal errands for people, and these people are not rich. The people having the personal shopper. Wear handmade suits. You drink champagne. You drive a classic car on the weekends. There are a lot of classic cars, but some of them I wouldn't, on the road, I wouldn't say that you're rich because you're driving it. It might be your only car. Order an annual Christmas hamper from a Fortnum in Mason. I don't even know what that is. Have a personal trainer who comes to you. You have a life coach. You own a black credit card. You have children who have riding lessons. You go skiing at least once a year. Hey, New England, New Englanders, if you are Coloradans, you go skiing in the mountains once a year, you're rich. Never bother hunting for bargains. You own a brand new four-wheel drive. Yeah, that's rich. You don't recall the last time you took the bus. I don't recall the last time I took the bus, but I'm definitely not rich. You always have fresh flowers around the house during the winter. I know a lot of people who do. In the summer, they cut the flowers from their own yard. Never spend less than about 15 bucks on a bottle of wine. You do your weekly shopping at Waitrose. I guess it's some high-end store. You have a dog, designer dog, and you don't have loyalty cards. A lot of people have designer dogs, those little yip-yip things. Can't stand them. You know, so if you have all of that stuff or even some of that stuff on that list, you can honestly say that you are now a part of the rich class. So go out this weekend and live the life, because now you know for sure that you are rich. I am out of time for today and for the week. I'm Rod Echols. This has been the Rod Echols Show. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. See you back here on Monday. I'm out.